So as part of our ongoing series of interviews with our legal experts, Devon and Ottaway, I'm here today with Panayota Ioannou. She's the lead property litigation solicitor here. And today we're going to be talking about flats, and more specifically when you're buying a flat, about the leases involved. So Panayota, you have found some statistics that kind of back up why we're doing this today.
There was a report by a company called Carlex in 2014, and that was based on the 2011 census. And what they said is that there are around 5.2 million leasehold properties in England and Wales. And around 23% of the housing stock in St Albans is actually leasehold flats or maisonettes.
Wow.
So it's quite an important subject for people, and obviously it's normally one people's highest value asset, so it's really important, I'd say.
But is there a trend these days, what with the property prices in St Albans being as they are, is there a trend now to hold on to the properties a little bit longer than you maybe would have done in the past?
The market, as I see it, is becoming harder and harder to break into because of house prices and difficulties with getting mortgages, so people are looking to retain their asset longer and longer.
Yeah.
But also bear in mind, a lot of these leases would have been granted many years ago, and so they're getting relatively short now.
Yeah.
And the sooner you extend, the better. Once you get to a term of about 80 years left, the premium starts to increase at a higher rate.
Uh-huh.
So it's something that's very important. It's important when you're getting a mortgage. It's also important when you're selling, but also when you're looking at your estate planning, what are you actually passing on to people and what's its value?
So if you were thinking of buying a flat and the leasehold was under that 70 or 80 years, what would the first steps be? Can anybody get a lease extension?
In order to qualify for the lease extension, you have to have been the owner of the lease for at least 2 years.
Oh.
So register at the Land Registry for 2 years. But there is a way to get around it. What you do is you ask your vendor, as long as they've been registered as the owner of the flat for 2 years, to serve the notice between the exchange of contracts and completion. So they serve it, they can then assign that benefit to you on completion, and you can take over that claim for a lease extension.
What would the first step be in that process?
I will generally ask them whether or not the landlord has been approached to see if they will agree it voluntarily anyway. And if you can do that, if the landlord will agree, then you avoid the whole notice process and tribunal process, and it just saves costs.
Right.
So it's always something to ask, if even if you're doing the extension or if your vendor's doing it, will they approach the landlord to agree the extension? If not, we have to go down the statutory route. I would get a valuation done by a specialist valuer to tell you what the premium ought to be. There's two reasons for that. The first is the premium that we put in the notice has to be realistic, otherwise the notice will be invalid.
Right.
And that can be disastrous, particularly where you're buying a property, because then you'll have to wait for your 2 years after you've owned the flat for that long. And the second is to give you an idea of how much you're going to have to pay. There are search engines, websites, that will give you an idea, but it's not something that I would rely on by itself. So they might give you an approximate idea, but you should always get a valuer on board. The other thing I would check is that the lease, when it was originally granted, was for more than 21 years, because that's one of the qualification criteria.
Then what would you do? What would the next step be?
So once we have the valuation and determined that your lease is a qualifying lease, we prepare a notice. If we are acting for you as a buyer, we prepare the notice. We'll send it to the seller's solicitors for their approval. And once they've signed it, they'll serve it between exchange and completion. If it's not a sale situation, they will serve it for you. The landlord will have at least 2 months to reply to say whether or not they accept your claim for a lease extension and the premium that you've proposed. Ordinarily, they will say, no, we don't agree the premium. They want more money normally.
Of course.
Yeah. They will also ask for a deposit to be paid once we've served a notice of 10% of the premium proposed, or £250, whichever is higher. And you have to pay that within 14 days of the request. Once that's all been done and the landlord served a counter notice, there's a negotiation period, and there is a deadline of 6 months from receipt of the counter notice to issue tribunal proceedings. Now, if you can get everything agreed, the premium and the terms of the lease, we don't have to worry about the tribunal at all, because everything's agreed and you're secure. If we can't get everything agreed, at around 5 months, we'd be looking to prepare the tribunal claim to go in, to just protect your position, because otherwise the notice is treated as withdrawn. If you are not selling, not in a sale situation, in just an ordinary situation where you're the one who owns the lease at the moment, you'd have to wait a year from withdrawal to claim another lease extension. And by that point, your premium has probably increased.
Yeah.
The shorter the lease, the higher the premium.
So how would you go about negotiating the new terms of the lease, and would you have to pay rent?
Under a statutory lease extension, there is no ground rent payable. It's called a peppercorn, which is basically nothing. You'll get 90 years on top of your current term on your lease, so you get a nice long lease. And the negotiations, it really depends on the difference between the premium that you're asking for and what the landlord's asking for. If it's a few thousand pounds, you know, £2,000 or £3,000, then you might want to do the negotiations yourself with them directly to keep your costs down. If it's quite a big gap, then I'd normally get the valuer to do the negotiations, and they'll factor that into their fee quote when they give you a quote for the report. The thing to bear in mind is the sooner you manage to agree everything and reach a compromise, the less your costs are going to be.
So what about the costs? Would you have to pay all the costs that were involved?
Yeah. So aside from your own costs, your solicitor, your valuer, you don't have to pay your landlord's costs of the tribunal, which is good, and equally they don't have to pay yours. You would have to pay your landlord's statutory costs if you go through the statutory procedure. But there are only costs relating to the checking your right to a new lease, their valuation, and the actual granting of the lease to you. And they have to be reasonable costs. It's only those three things that you have to pay for. It really depends on the landlord. I think you'd be looking at, I'd say, a minimum of 1,500 to 2,000 to start with, but it does go up from there.
All this is happening in between exchange and completion of contract. So how long would it take? Because you could exchange contracts and this could all be obviously still going through, couldn't it?
Once you've served the notice and it's been assigned as part of a sale to you or by you, if it's been assigned by you, you fall out of the process. If it's assigned to you, as long as it's assigned to you on completion, you're fine. You don't have to worry about being registered for 2 years at all. That's all covered, that's fine. It will then go on for a very long period of time, but you don't have to be worried about getting it completed before your purchase completes. The point is, as long as it's assigned to you on completion, then you're fine. It will then take probably six months to a year, so it is a long process, unless you can get things agreed sooner.
So Panayota, this is really good advice, but how important would you say extending a lease is? Is it, you know, I remember when I was first looking for a flat, if it didn't have an under 99 year lease, I panicked, but I don't know why. I think it was just the perception that if it was 66 years or 70 years that you weren't supposed to touch that kind of place.
I think it does impact on the value of the property. For example, a property with a shorter lease might be harder to market because your buyer is thinking, well, I don't want a lease that's only got 60 something years on it, for example. It's also harder to get a mortgage when the lease term gets to a certain length. Once you hit the 80 year mark, I think it's very important to start dealing with it. 80 years is still a good length of time, but it's at that stage that the premium starts to increase. So I think the shorter the lease, the lower the value of your property, the harder it is to market, the harder it is to mortgage. It is very important to keep an eye on it, and I certainly wouldn't let it get to 5 years, because at that point the landlord can say, no, I'm not giving you a lease extension because I want to redevelop the property.
This is really good advice. Thank you so much, Panayota. And if somebody is then about to buy a flat with a short lease, best advice, get in touch with you guys.
That's great. Thanks very much, Kerry.